comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet that we call Earth. Thank you for being here. You matter. You know, there are a few days where I don't do this because we just get so behind on the schedule. There's just so much to do. But almost every day, I create a video blog or a vlog, and on that I talk about things that are coming up in the show. Sometimes I talk about the show that's coming up at night, but I talk about developments on the site as well. And today I announced on the vlog that we have a new FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions. And for those of you who did not see the vlog, you really should check it every day. But you need to know we do have a new FAQ. Many of the things that you wonder about, you know, how do you do this, how do you do that, you're looking for help, it's in the FAQ. Check it out. Members area. Well, I was doing some work, streamlining things, making them run faster and so forth today. And apparently I did something that caused some people to not be able, some members to not be able to log in. I don't know what it is I did, but some of you are not able to log in. Most of you are. Most of you have no problem whatsoever, but some of you are not able to log in. So if you'll go to the contact page, select member support, because that's what you're asking for, is member support. Send me an email, and I will send you the information you need to correct that, okay? The K-Files e-zine is our free weekly newsletter. The K-Files e-zine comes out on each Friday night. We start sending it on Friday night. So Friday and Saturday, it's being sent out. And it's free. There's no reason not to get it. So if you're not subscribed, go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and look for the button with red letters that says K-Files e-zine. Hard to miss it. Some people do, but it's hard to miss it. I think you'll find it's the only button that has red letters. So you see red, you see a button with red letters, that's it. K-Files e-zine. If you have become addicted to the video, you want to watch the show, I certainly can understand that, and you can. All you need to do is join our members area. In the members area, you can watch the live shows. And it's 23 cents a day. Do you know what the average cost for a cup of coffee is in the United States of America? I looked it up. It's $1.38. That's the average cost of a cup of coffee in the United States. $1.38. What is the cost of being in the members area? 23 cents per day. So if you just skipped one cup of coffee per day, you've paid for 6 days of membership. Is that so tough? We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest tonight is Mark Felder. Now, Mark has been with us before. Mark has even been with us right here in the studio. And so you're familiar with him. He is one of the members of the Extreme Expedition team and has just returned from an expedition in Peru and has some pretty interesting things to share with us. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Kevin. It's an honor to be here.
Mark, tell us a little bit about this. Now, just to refresh people's memory, when you were on with us before, you were talking about your expedition to the doorway at Aramumuru and the very strange things that took place on that expedition. Now, you've gone back to Peru, and you went back to that doorway as well as some other places. So bring us up to date on this expedition. What's this one all about?
Well, I went down to Peru with Jerry Wills and a couple other folks. We were looking for a tunnel to begin with up in northern Peru, pretty close to Ecuador. And we got awfully close to it. We never did find the opening to the tunnel, but we did find the site. It had been excavated by apparently the church. It was behind a church where there's some houses. So this the site had been cleared, bulldozed, dug up pretty good, so we couldn't get into the tunnel. We couldn't find the opening. At that point, two of us, myself and another person who was with us, Ray Stevenson, went down to southern Peru to Puno area near Lake Titicaca, which is where the doorway is located. We went down there to explore the doorway some more.
Okay. Now, you've already been to the doorway. What did you just... wanted to see if there was additional information, or was there something specific that you were looking for?
Well, we wanted to experience the doorway again because it was a rather exciting and very strange place.
Mm-hmm.
We had some time on our hands, so we decided to check it out and see what we could do with it. I wanted to try to have an experience, something on the order of what I did last time. Hopefully, you know, even better than that. And we just simply went down there to explore it some more and to see what we could learn about the doorway.
Now, did you attempt to activate this doorway this time?
Yes, we did.
How did that work for you?
Well, it wasn't anything at all like the last experience. The last time I went through the doorway to a tunnel, or a cave, I should say. It was more like a cave. This time, I didn't go anyplace. I was actually seeking information and knowledge more than trying to transport myself to another location. It was actually quite successful. I was at the doorway a total of six different nights with a variety of different people. So I had quite a few different experiences. I was also at the doorway area during the daytime on three separate days where I hiked the area, explored it, and tried to activate the doorway during the daytime.
Did you have any, was there anything phenomenal that took place? Anything that you would classify as paranormal or phenomenal?
Yeah, actually. The second night that I was there with Ray, we had gone to the doorway, waited till after dark. Well, excuse me, there were several nights out there. I was confusing it. We got there prior to dark. Sitting in front of the doorway, it was around dusk when I decided to go up to the doorway to try to activate it. It was at this time we could still see, but it was, you know, getting pretty close to being dark out. I normally approach the doorway going straight up to it. Directly in front of it, there's this rocky ledge, kind of rolls a bit, about 4 feet high. The top of the ledge is narrow. It's about a foot and a half wide right in front of the keyhole. So when I was going to go up to this doorway this time, for some reason, I decided to go up to the doorway or the keyhole, but off to the right quite a bit instead of straight up. And so I approached it got up to the top of the ledge, and as I was walking to the keyhole, I always have this funny thing that happens when I go up to the doorway, which is I keep thinking that I'm going to bump into somebody coming out of the doorway as I'm kneeling down there. Because it's dark, it's rather an eerie place in the dark, kind of freaky in a lot of times. So this time I had the same thought in my head, and I kind of write it off as my imagination, naturally. So as I got pretty close to the front of the doorway, I turned to face the doorway because I was walking around that narrow ledge. Just as I was turning into the doorway, I got pushed back by something, an invisible force. It was rather strong and just about knocked me off my feet. So I lost my balance. I let out a bit of a holler. I went, whoa, and tried to keep my balance. So what I did was I leaned up with my back up against the wall right alongside the keyhole.
Now you're referring to, when you say keyhole, you're referring to the indentation carved into the face of the doorway that looks kind of like a T.
Yeah, that the opening itself, it's shaped like a irregular shape of a keyhole would be. So that's why I call it that. Otherwise, the doorway I refer to is the entire structure with the pillars and the whole face of the entire thing that you're showing. But the keyhole is that small part in the middle that mm-hmm. you drew a line to. Yeah.
All right. Now the this keyhole, as you call it, has a line going down the middle of it, a vertical line from top to bottom that splits that back wall of the keyhole in two halves. Do you think maybe that those two halves can move aside? Is that possible?
I don't know. I hadn't thought of it that way. That line that goes down the center appears to be like a stain.
Mm.
And I think it's from all the years of usage of people going to it, possibly from placing their heads on there, their foreheads on that section, or it also looks like there's stains on it from various liquids that may have been poured on it, ceremonial type liquids of some sort. So I think that's what that line is all about.
All right. Now, how much time did you spend at the doorway this time?
I went there six separate nights in the dark with a variety of people. Each night, 3 to 4 hours on the average.
Six nights.
I was also there during the daytime, three separate trips during the daytime for up to 5 hours, but I was also exploring the area, hiking it, photographing it.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, what did you do after you... I mean, compared to your last trip, or your first trip, where you went through the doorway, I think this one is a little bit less spectacular, but you found something else in another location. Tell us about that.
Well, I believe I found another doorway that is forming via erosion. This other doorway can be seen from the first one. It's in a rock wall. This erosion really mimics the carved doorway that we were using. The erosion is very unusual. It's forming pillars, those large cavities, you know, there it is, on the top, just like the other doorway has. And there's also a spot down in the middle on this one. It's off to the left a little bit, but there's a large scooped out area that would resemble pretty much the keyhole. This particular structure is about 25% larger than the other doorway, but it's very, very similar in nature. The odd wings up on top or ear-shaped lobes at the top of the pillars are very similar.
So, all right, Mark, let me ask you something about something I see. In the photograph, the close-up photograph of this second possible doorway, it's hard to tell from the picture, but you saw it with your own eyes, so perhaps you can sort of guide us a little bit here. There appears to be a petroglyph carved into it. It appears to be, and I'm no good at drawing, but it appears there's a circle at the top and a straight area with wings, and I'll make this go away in just a moment, but it looks like sort of wings on the front and the back end of it. So when I make the drawing go away, people can see what I'm talking about. It's a white area. Is that a petroglyph, or is that just some natural marking that's there?
Those are, unfortunately, bird droppings.
Well, they took the shape of birds, didn't they?
That area, there's a lot of white on that area from birds nesting inside the cavities that are forming there on the wall.
Now, how far from the doorway at Aramaru is this?
Approximately 1,000 yards.
Okay, so it's not that far away. What made you say that? I mean, is it just the appearance of this that looks like a possible doorway, or are the natives in the area beginning to talk about strange things happening at this location?
No, no one. Actually, I'm the one who spotted this. No one else pointed it out to me.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it when I was standing by the other doorway. There's another photo where I was standing by the original doorway, and you can see this one off in the distance. It caught my eye. I walked over to it, and I noticed the very strange erosion and the formation on both sides, the left and the right above the pillars, are forming those irregular ear shapes that sit above the pillars on the original one. The size, the shape, the dimensions, the proportions, and then that very strange egg-shaped cavity in this one, which resembles somewhat a keyhole type feature. And I just thought it was very, very strange that this erosion resembles the other doorway so much.
All right, now the actual doorway is very clearly something that someone has carved into this rock. I mean, this is not erosion here. This is manufactured, if you will. Someone has carved it into the rock. Now, on the top of the doorway at Aramaru, it'll be a little bit difficult for people to see who are watching our TV channel, but there is a carved figure at the top. If you back off away from that and look at it, it looks like a lady laying on her back and looking up.
Yes.
On this other doorway, from a certain angle, there is what appears to be the head of a man looking up.
Yes, there is. That is a carved head of a man there, and it's directly above that eroded opening.
Now, you're saying it's carved? This is not a natural formation?
It looks like it's been carved. I was up there looking at it very closely, and there's erosion on that, but it sure looks like it's been carved.
It looks like in this photograph that you sent to me, it looks like that about three quarters of the way up on the cliff facing, that there is an opening to a cave. Did you explore that any?
Yeah, that's actually a very shallow indentation. The shadow on there makes it look like a deeper cave. It just appears to be much deeper than it is.
Mm-hmm. And so the doorway, though, that appears to be forming, I would assume, is somewhat underneath the head that's looking up. Is that correct?
Yes, it's directly below it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another feature that kind of struck me as being similar to the other doorway. in that directly above the other doorway, we have a figure facing the sky on an angle, and this one is facing the exact same portion of the sky, this head. It's on an angle looking up, but it's also directly above this particular eroded doorway, which I thought was, again, another interesting coincidence, a similarity between the two.
All right. Now, considering the close proximity of these two, and considering the story about how this doorway of Aramamuru has, how it was created, there is an interesting possibility that comes to my mind. The story, as Jerry Wills told it, is that this king from the lost continent of Mu came to this area, and he is the one who constructed the doorway that we call the doorway of Aramamuru. And the figure that's on top is reported or reputed to be a carving of his wife looking into the stars.
Yes.
Is it possible that this other doorway that you think may be a doorway, and it's got a head carved on the top, and it's a man's head, is it possible that this is sort of his doorway, and that other one, the doorway of Aramamuru, is her doorway? Is that a possibility? Because let me, for those who are watching on KSS-TV, let me put the picture of the doorway of Aramamuru on the screen, and then if you stand in that doorway and look away, in other words, you put your back in that doorway, here is what you were seeing, and it is the other doorway, and it's got a man's head looking into the heavens. What do you think about that speculation that this may be a matched pair?
Well, I think that's quite possible. I was beginning to think that myself, because the similarities between these two structures are so strikingly the same.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll step away for just a couple of minutes, and then we'll be back. More with Mark Felder and the expedition to Peru. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Just a very quick announcement here for those of you who didn't tune in to the beginning of the show. And as I always say, if you miss a single second, you miss a universe of information. And so some of you didn't tune in to the beginning of the show for whatever reason, and you didn't hear this announcement. But let me make it again for those who didn't hear it. We did some work on the members area database today. Some of you are not able to log in. The vast majority of you can. Now, if you go to the contact page and you will click on member support and send me an email, it will get to me. It's the only email address that I am monitoring at the moment. Okay? If you send me a notice any other way, I will not see it. We created the contact page for a reason, and member support is member support for a reason. It will get to me, okay? So you send me an email using that method, our contact page, select member support, and send me a notice that you're having trouble logging in. If you send it to me, I will send you the workaround so that you can get into the members area. All right? Now, if you send it to me any other way, I won't see it. That's two announcements. Okay. We're talking with Mark Felder, and Mark, we were when we had to cut away for break, we were discussing the possibility that this new doorway, or one that you think may be a doorway, it kind of could be a matched pair, considering the story of that this king from the continent of Mu came to this area, and that he is the one that constructed the doorway at Aramamuru with a statue of his wife laying on her back looking into the stars on top of it. And now, just a short distance away, in fact, if you stand in the doorway that I've just been talking about, put your back into that doorway, what you're facing is the other doorway with the face of a man carved on the top looking into the heavens. And so I said, well, is it possible then that this is his doorway and the other one was her doorway? And if it is, then perhaps this new doorway is... Maybe it wasn't finished, or because what I'm looking at in the close-up of the new doorway, and again, it's hard to tell because I'm looking at a photograph, but it looks like that there is some carving that began and maybe wasn't finished. Or maybe it was carved, but it has encountered maybe some destruction. What we're looking at appears that there's been some stones carved, but maybe not. Maybe geological forces have cleaved those stones in those straight lines. What do you think, Mark? You're in the construction business. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, I think it is a doorway. It looks like it's erosion to me. I thought it was eroding. The stone was eroding so strangely in those areas that this doorway was actually forming. I have another opinion from a friend of mine, Ray, who thought maybe it was eroding away, that this is all that's left of one. So we had both opinions of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, but it has all the same dimensions, or I should say the scale is the same. It's just 25% larger. But it's very similar. The two tops of the pillars have those very strange ear-type lobes that are forming on it. And it has that head way above it, the sculpture.
Okay, so give us a little bit of information now about points of the compass. The old doorway, by old I'm talking about the one we already knew about, Aramamuru. All right, if that one, if we stand with our back to that doorway, what direction on the compass are we facing, north, south, east, or west?
We would be facing, with our back to it, approximately north, I think. And so this particular doorway here would be northwest. The new one would be northwest of the existing doorway.
Okay, so if you stand with your back in the new one, you're facing south.
Correct.
Okay. Now, how far is this from the coast?
Well, we're very close to Lake Titicaca. I'm not sure how far from the ocean, if that's the coast you're talking about.
Well, a lot of the weather in Peru comes in off of the ocean. It has to travel across a lot of obstacles to cross the country, mountains and so forth. But a lot of the weather patterns do come in off of the coast. And what I was thinking is, because of what you told us about, Ray said this one looks like maybe it's a doorway that was there but has eroded significantly. With weather coming from the south and this facing the south, it would get hit more with the weather. It would take more of a frontal assault from the weather than the original doorway that we were talking about, Aramamuru.
Correct. It would take quite a bit of sun in the morning. It gets a lot of sun throughout the morning and up into the afternoon.
And blowing wind, blowing sand, and if there is rain, it would get more rain hitting the face than the other doorway would, because it would be facing the direction the weather's coming from. And so it may well be erosion. That may be what we're looking at here. All right, now, did you try to activate this doorway?
Only during the daytime we did, and we didn't have any success with it during the daytime.
Mm-hmm. I've heard from several people. I've talked with Ray. He's been here. You've been here. And I've talked with both of you face-to-face. Both of you had really amazing, I would say astounding, experiences in activating the doorway in your first expedition. But now, what about this time? Now, I know you told us that it wasn't quite the same, but you see, both of you told me that even as you get close to the doorway, and you mentioned it tonight, as you get close to that doorway, you can feel energies coming off of it. What about this new doorway? Do you feel anything happening there?
I didn't sense too much there, but I did have a rather interesting thing happen while I was standing in front of it. But that's related to an incident that occurred several days earlier at the other doorway.
All right, tell us about it.
Tell you about.
Yeah, go ahead, tell us about it.
I should tell you probably about what happened at the other doorway with Ray, that I had started telling you about earlier, and then this will follow through and make a lot more sense.
All right.
It was right around dusk when I was trying to activate the first doorway.
Mm-hmm.
I had walked up to it, and as I was turning to face the keyhole, I got pushed back rather hard by something that I couldn't see. It was I thought it was just the energy coming out of that doorway. It comes out in waves, like you're standing in an ocean surf. It pushes on you for a little bit, then it pulls you back, and then it pushes on you. But this was rather strong, and it knocked me off my, well, it didn't knock me off my feet, but I almost lost my balance. So I had braced myself up against the doorway, the wall alongside the keyhole, for a moment to regain my balance, and then I turned, got back into the doorway, and started making the tones. And it was at this time, Ray was sitting about 40 feet away watching, and he could still see because it was at dusk. Ray and I had an agreement where we wouldn't talk to each other or make any sounds whatsoever, because when you're in that keyhole, you can hear everything so easily. The slightest little shuffling or whatever, it's very, very loud in there, very crisp and clear. So as I was starting the first set of tones, I heard something walking right alongside of me to my right. It sounded like somebody walking on a sandstone right there, and it was walking away rather slowly. I continued doing the tones, and I could still hear this walking. Then it stopped, and it seemed to be approximately where the right pillar is, and it just stopped there for a few seconds. Then I heard it start walking again, and it continued walking away, and then it just faded away. It stopped. I did not know at the time, but Ray, who was watching me, said that he could see right alongside of me when I had, right after I had been hit with that force from the doorway. When I got into the doorway, he could see this transparent shape. It was kind of dark. It had been standing right next to me. It was about 4.5 feet high, and it had started walking away from me. He said he could see arm and leg movements, and he could see right through it, but it was darker than the surrounding rock, yet it was transparent.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing walked over to approximately where that right pillar was and stopped. And it did that. It was the same time I could hear it. It had turned, Ray said, it turned and looked right at him. and the hair on the back of his neck stood straight up, he said. Then this thing, after a couple of seconds, turned and continued walking away and just vanished.
Was he able to see any, even though you could see through it, was he able to determine any facial features or...
He didn't indicate that he could.
Mm-hmm.
He could see. He told me he could see the shape, the size. It was distortion. He said it appeared to be cloaked, and his description was, it looked very much like that creature in the movie Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger, where when the creature was cloaked, the area mm-hmm. around it was all distorted when you could see through it.
Yeah.
So that was the appearance it had for him.
You know what, Mark? I've, over the past couple of years, there is someone who has sent me email with photographs and I think video of that sort of energy disturbance in his backyard. Over the past week, I've gotten two more emails from other people who are talking about seeing that kind of thing. So it would seem then that at least in the reports about it that I'm getting, the reports are increasing. All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back right after this. To the Kevin Smith Show, and one more and final time for any member who is having difficulty logging in, if you will use the contact page and click on member support, because that's what you're requesting. If you click on that, send me an email, tell me you're having trouble logging in, I will immediately send you the workaround, okay, so that you can get in. And this is as a result of some work we did in the database, and I have no idea why it eliminated a handful, just a handful, but it eliminated a handful of member accounts. Now, if you'll send me that email, I'll send you the workaround, and you'll be able to log in, okay? We're talking with Mark Felder. Mark, I was saying when we went away for break that I've been getting reports of that sort of energy, things being in the shape. You know, it's like if you look on a hot day and you look down the highway and you see the heat rising up off of the highway and a car is coming, the car is all kind of wavy. And or it appears to be. Well, I've been getting some email over the past year and a couple in the past week where people have seen and have taken photographs or video of something that's transparent and wavy like that and has shape to it. And it seems like there's an increase, at least here at the Kevin Smith Show, there's an increase in the number of reports of those kinds of phenomena. What do you think it is? Do you think it is just energy, or is it a being of some kind?
Well, what I encountered, I think, was a being. I thought I was pushed out of the doorway by the energy, which seemed unusually powerful, that the energy waves that come out of that doorway. But after Ray and I were comparing notes about this once I got out of there, we were talking right after I came back down and sat down next to Ray. And he explained to me what he saw, and I realized that what happened probably was I got pushed out of the doorway by this being. It had stood right alongside of me on that ledge, and then it started to walk away. And what's interesting is I could hear it walking away. So it obviously had physical mass. to make the sound of walking on sandstone. It sounded like shoes walking on sandstone, not bare feet. Ray could hear it walking too, because the sound there is so crisp and clear. It was very, very quiet. That was incredibly noticeable, and it sounded exactly like someone walking. So I think it was a being, and Ray, who saw it, I never saw this at all. I didn't have any indication of it visually.
Mm-hmm.
He said he could, it looked like it had arms and legs, the way it was, you know, the shape that he could see moving around. So I think in this case it was a being, that some kind of a being pushed me out of the doorway. Apparently it was in the doorway when I approached it.
Hmm.
Later on, while Ray and I were talking, right after I'd come back out of the doorway, now it had gotten darker, so we couldn't see anymore very well. We heard it come back along the face of the doorway from the direction it had disappeared. It seemed to stop right around that right pillar. We could hear the footsteps of it walking. It sounded just like a person, a large person, because it had quite a bit of sound to it. Then we heard this very strange sound, scuffling noises, as if something was climbing up inside that pillar all the way to the top, because the sound was now coming from the very top area where the pillar was, scuffling noises, as if somebody had climbed up there, and then it stopped. We didn't hear any more noises that night from it. However, we could sense something there, and it sure felt like we were being watched. You know how if you're being watched, you get that feeling? You don't know where it's coming from, but you feel like someone's watching you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had that feeling. The right side upper pillar is quite deep up there at the very top, and actually a small person could actually sit up in there quite easily. So it sounded like this thing climbed right up the pillar and crawled into that upper cavity and sat there and watched us for the rest of the night.
Did you feel threatened at any point?
No, I never felt threatened, but it just was kind of eerie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, kind of eerie isn't right. It was very eerie. What was very interesting was, as Ray and I, several hours later, were leaving, we both commented about the same time about how good we both felt. We felt very, very, very good. It had a sense of extreme well-being, which was the first time I had felt like that. I don't know the last time I ever felt like that, but we both felt that way as we were leaving. I don't know if it had anything to do with this being, but it was certainly related to being at the doorway.
All right, now, this time when you tried to activate the doorway, you weren't successful in actually activating it. Why do you think that is? Why last time it activated and you had a rather amazing journey, this time it didn't activate. Why? What's your theory about it?
I'm thinking that it has a lot to do with my state of mind. This particular time, I was not in the same state of mind as I was with the group last year when we were there. I was more looking for information and knowledge this time than last time. I was eventually quite successful in that, but not those two nights. Ray and I were there for two nights in a row before he had to go back home. So then we just didn't have it, and I'm not sure exactly why, other than I think it was the state of mind, it was the mood, this being sitting there watching us, or the feeling that it was there, was a little bit, well, it was very eerie, I should say, and I think that had a lot to do with it. It's just disturbing.
Mm-hmm. Ray said that it looked something like what you see in the movie Predator, but it was only about 4.5 feet tall, right?
Correct.
That's
approximately where it hit me too. When I got bumped into it, it was from below my shoulders on down, even though the opening of the doorway is right level with the top of my head. So that kind of coincided or confirmed, you know, where I was bumped into pretty hard by this thing. Yeah, it was only about 4.5 feet high.
Now, when it bumped into you, did it feel physical, or did you have the feeling that it was something like an electrical force?
It felt actually very, very, well, it was rather solid, but it wasn't hard. It was a soft, cushioned bump, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have been an energy field that hit me, but it was quite solid. But
you didn't have any sensations like you have when you get around electricity, right?
Right. There was no electrical sensations at all.
What about odors? Did you guys detect that there were any changes in the odors of the air, smelling something that smelled a little more ozone-ish or something like that?
No, I detected no odors at all.
Mm-hmm. What about Ray? Did he say anything about a change in odors or anything?
He didn't say anything to me about it. He may have noticed it, but he never mentioned it.
Now, it's interesting, you mentioned it's about 4.5 feet tall, but when you heard it coming back up the pathway to the doorway, it sounded heavy.
Sounded, yeah, the footsteps were heavier. They made more noise.
More than when it went away.
Yes. When it went away, it was much softer, but very, very distinct. And when it came back, it definitely sounded a lot heavier. Ray even considered the idea. He thinks there was possibly two entities that came back. There was enough shuffling and foot noises. It was really hard to tell, because we couldn't see anything. So we're just basically gauging with our ears what we were hearing and experiencing.
All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We will open the phone lines in just a moment. Not quite yet, but in just a moment. And you can call in with your questions or comments. Before we do that, Mark, I want to explore one other area with you, and that is this. I think a lot of people would say that just the idea of even going to this doorway and giving it a whirl would be frightening for them, because let's assume that it does work. Let's assume that you do go through the doorway. Let's assume that you do take a journey to somewhere. What if you can't get back? How did you muster the courage to go through this doorway the first time when you did go through it?
I don't know how I got the courage, other than it was something I simply had to do. I just simply have enough confidence in my own abilities and knowledge to find a way back. I have absolutely no idea if it would get me back, but you know, when you have an opportunity like that staring you in the face, it's hard not to use it.
Yeah. All right. I can identify with that a little bit. However, I would be there more as a spectator. I don't think I would try to go through the doorway. But that's just me. That's just me. All right, we're going to open up the telephone lines and invite you to give us a call. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. And as always, if you are outside the USA, you're outside of Canada, The main number will work from anywhere in the world. But if you don't want to make an international long distance call, you may send me a flash message by going to my website and by clicking on the link that you will see there that says flash message. Just scroll down and you will see it. Okay? 623-444-5889 is the number, or toll free at 888-223-4599. We're talking with Mark Felder. We are talking about this doorway at Aramumaru, and possibly its twin about 1,000 yards away. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin, and welcome to the show, Mark. This is Terry from Ohio. Well,
hi, Terry.
Hi. I was wondering, I got kind of three questions. I'll leave the longer one for last. On the, you know, as far as, you know, those two possible gates and the figures, the one, you know, the head, you know, that is pretty well, just with the picture, is pretty well obvious. But the one about the woman, you know, you kind of just see, you know, like a figure, you know, a bumpy figure. Does it have, or is it eroded? Can, you know, is there a face on that? Does it have, like, a breast, if I can say that, or, you know, anything like
sure
that?
Sure you can say breast. Why can't you say breast?
Oh, I don't know. It's a family show.
Well, families have breasts in them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was just wondering if, you know, if that was visible to really prove that it's a woman, more or less.
Well, if we had a different photo, I didn't send a good enough photo of that, unfortunately. I should have. It's quite obvious when you step back a bit from that doorway and take a look at it. It is definitely a woman's shape up there. And yes, it has it's very distinct: head, shoulders, breast, arms, legs. The facial features and things of that nature are eroded enough where they're not very clear anymore, though. The overall shape, though, is very pronounced and unmistakable when you see it. So, yeah, it's definitely a woman.
My second question is, I know when Jerry was talking about this and the natives, they're quite afraid of the one gate, you know, because people have disappeared into it and stuff. I was wondering, have they spoke of the other possible gate and any activity that you know of?
No one has spoke to me about the other one that I found, because basically I'm the one who found it. So I was pointing it out to other people. There was four or five different people with me down there over a period of 10 days. So I showed it to them, and they all agreed when they're looking at it that it was definitely very much like the other doorway. But no one has told me anything about it, so this is actually the first time they saw it or heard about it as well. Mm. And I don't know that the local people are aware of it or not.
Okay, and forgive me if you talked about this before, but could you just give me the highlights of your experience going through the gate, what you seen, where you went, you know, along that line, you know, real quick if you could, and I'll listen offline. Thanks a lot, Kev.
All right. Yeah, give us a thumbnail description of what you encountered the first time.
The first time, I made several attempts at opening that doorway, activating it. The one that we talked about the most was when I went right through the doorway. I passed through the stone itself quite a ways. I ended up in a huge cavern that appeared to be, I believe, about 80 feet across. I was on one end of it, about 20 feet above the floor, looking straight down, way back, and what I saw in front of me, well, my eyes, it was pitch black in there, but wherever I looked, everything lit up as if I had floodlights or spotlights for eyes. So just what I was looking at was brightly illuminated. what I saw were Aztec warriors all lined up about 2 feet apart, and there was no end to them going back. They were dressed in some really interesting warrior-type outfits with spears and shields and bows and arrows. And
now, were they real, or, I mean, were they humans, or were they statues?
I don't know, but they were so detailed that you could, it looked as if they were humans covered with a brown dust.
All right, let's take the next call. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello there. Hello, Mark. I wanted to know, have you ever tried to put some sort of astrological or astronomical alignment along with these doorways? And going into some Richard Hoagland hyperdimensional models, have you ever tried putting some sort of hyperdimensional model to this doorway?
Well, as far as the astrological part, I'm not very well versed in that. So, no, I haven't done that. All I know is both figures above these doors are pitched at the same angle, appearing to look at the same place out in space. So that's as far as I could go with that. And what was the other part of your question?
I wanted to know if there's any part of it that could be like some sort of a Richard Hoagland hyperdimensional physics in there, the angles maybe being at 19.5 degrees or 33 degrees by per chance.
I actually did not check that part out, so I couldn't give you a very accurate answer. I don't know.
That'd be something interesting to find out, because both of them do appear to be pitched at the same angle. It might be instructive to find out, what is that angle? Is it 19.5 degrees? Is it 33 degrees? Or what is it? And, you know, if it's 19.5 degrees, that could be really big news. All right, Kevin's that do it for you? You got another question?
Yeah, well, because 19.5 degrees seems to be a very repetitive all throughout the solar system. You look at Jupiter at the 19.5 degrees area on the spherical scale, you'll find the big red spot, and on Uranus too, they got a big quote unquote vortex or storm at that very same location. According to their sphere, and Mars, that's where you'll find the Cydonia area.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm saying that there seems to be something there. I'd like to find out. Let's say perhaps maybe also in certain star alignments are at 19.5 degrees off the horizon, and see if there's any extra activity going on at that doorway. I think it'd be interesting to find out.
All right.
Well, I could do a scale off some of the photos. I have some good photos from a distance on that doorway that are quite level. I could get a pretty close angle on the pitch for the figurines to see exactly, you know, which angle they're at.
I think it's also because you said they seem to be staring at the same spot in the sky. Of course, whatever inhabits that spot in the sky is going to change as we progress through the year. So there may be something, there may be a particular date, like the summer solstice or the winter solstice or something like that, at which that spot in the sky is significant for those two sites where they're staring into the sky. Would there be any way, Mark, to find out from the natives, maybe, if there is a significant date associated with them?
Well, I suppose I'd have to go back down there and talk to them, so it could take me a while to get the answer on that one.
Yeah, but, you know, knowing you, I know you're going, this is not your last expedition, so you may be back down there, and if you are, Try to make a note to ask them if there's a particular date that's associated with these two sites. Because if there's a particular date, then the stars that they're looking at on that date would be what might be interesting. Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show.
Wait.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Are you there?
Yeah, your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hey, this is Ray Stevenson, code name Orange.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Hey, Ray, how are you?
Hey, Mark, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good.
Yeah. Oh, man, you don't remember Orange, huh? Well,
I have nothing to say. I just
middle of it right
I now. Have no comment. I will neither confirm or deny that I know anything about Orange.
Well, Ray here is the one who was with me at the doorway.
Mm-hmm.
When I got bumped into by that bean, and Ray is the one who saw the bean walking away. So maybe Ray could tell us his version of what he saw.
Yeah, let me start off by asking, were you able to see any details, like facial features or anything like that?
No, as a matter of fact, it was dark in the center of it, but you could see an outline. And you were talking earlier about that bioelectrical, and it just seemed like sometimes the shapes shimmered.
Mm-hmm.
And you could definitely see when the arms and legs moved that it shimmered on the edges of it as it walked away. And so I saw it standing there because I was observing Mark, and I saw it right to the right of him, and then it turned and walked away, and it was walking at a normal gait for, I guess, the size of that thing, the entity.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like it was interrupted from doing something because Mark was there. And I don't know what was in the mind of this thing, but when it got to the inverted pillar on the right side, it noticed me. I don't think it saw me, because we had made the arrangement we would be perfectly still and quiet as each of us were up there. And don't forget, this thing was not what we went for. I mean, this is totally outside the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when it got to the pillar, it stopped abruptly and looked at me like it was just totally surprised.
How do you know it looked at you? Did it turn toward you?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could tell. That's when it made a lot of noise on that sandstone, because there's a lot of loose pieces of that. So you readily could hear it walking. It looked at me, Kevin, and all of a sudden, it's like, I think Mark said, the hair on my neck stood up, but interestingly, the left side of my brain started to do something. I don't know what it was. So I don't know if it had anything to do with this or not, because I've never had that happen before.
Well, give us a little more detail about that. What do you mean the left side of your brain started to do something?
Yeah, it's, let's see. It felt like there was a slight pressure. And I don't have any other description other than that. I don't know if it was doing something with me or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I have no idea. All I can tell you is physically, you know, what I was feeling and sensing at the time. And it was at least, I'd say, a good 15 seconds that we looked at each other. I'm sure. And I say him because I got the impression it was a male. And it just looked at me. I looked at him. And it was like... like the OK Corral, who's going to draw first? But then it turned to the right and continued walking away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got to tell you, I can hear that, the walking, but not as good as Mark because, you know, I'm retired military, and my hearing is not so good because of jet engines and cannons.
Mm-hmm.
But I could hear that. So that was remarkable.
Well, if you with hearing loss, with hearing loss, if you still could hear it, that means it was fairly loud.
Oh yeah, it echoes off of that sandstone, off mm-hmm. that face. So, there's a couple other things too that you need to know prior to that. When it was dusk, and I just want to insert some information. There was something making a lot of noise, a flying, I think Mark called it a big bat. It looked something different to me,
mm-hmm.
and like some kind of weird bird, and it was making this god-awful noise, like it was disturbed, maybe above the doorway. And it flew around for a while, and we were remarking because of that. And So we like, what is that? You know, that is really big. It looked to have maybe a 4 foot, maybe 5 foot wingspan, and then it went away. But it made a real shrieking noise. I've not heard that before. And
what color was it?
Well, this is during dusk going to dark.
Mm-hmm.
It looked gray to me. I have no other perception than that. I'm really good at night vision, but in the dusk when it's changing over, all I could tell you was the shape. It had like, it didn't have a neck, very much of a neck or any at all on it. And the wings tended to, instead of being out to the side, it tended to have wings that were up towards or arced up towards the head more, like a bat would be, but it looked like it had feathers. So I don't know what to say.
Mm.
I've not seen anything like that before.
Now, you said it was sounding as if it were disturbed. Do you think it was disturbed by your presence there, or was it being disturbed perhaps by the presence of this entity?
I think it was the entity or entities, because I just got the impression that there was like something else besides this one there.
Mm-hmm.
But Mark and I were very quiet because we wanted to keep the gate to a point where we could use it, because that was our intention, to use it just like we did last time, but more in depth this time. And we were totally taken out here on this activity. It was, I think we totally interrupted what was going on with these guys, and we got in the way. And, of course, they were in our way, too, but, you know.
Well, now, let me say this. Generally, when you speak about it possibly being a bat, generally, people think of a very small animal. However, folks, there does exist a species of bat, and I have seen it. I have eaten it. The wingspan is 3.5 to 4 feet. And they have those in East Timor, and they are a food source. And when I say I have eaten it, I have eaten it. I've been into a village where that's what they were cooking over the fire. They invited me to stay and eat with them, and I eat what the people eat. And, by the way, tastes a little bit like rat. But there is a species of bat with that wingspan. Now, the question is, I know for sure the species exists, and I know for sure they have them in East Timor. Do they have that species in Peru? Do either of you know?
I have no clue.
Yeah, it's sometimes they call it a fruit bat, and sometimes they call it a fox bat. And it's called a fox bat because its snout is not flat like other bats. It's got a sharp snout like a fox.
I'm familiar with that bat. You know, I look at a lot of Geographic and programs like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very much into that sort of thing. So I just sit back and watch all that. So, yeah, those things are huge.
Yes, they are. They're mostly wing, though. There's not that much meat on them. They have huge wings.
This did not look like that. I can tell you, it looked like it had feathers on it for some reason, but shaped like what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it really shrieked. I never heard any of the bats that you're talking about shriek like that.
I can't say I've heard them make any noise at all.
I never did.
Yeah, and I've lived in the jungle with them, and I've seen them in flight, and I've never heard them make any noise. So I don't know. Back to the proposition that I put out, and that Mark said that he had thought about it too, the possibility that that other site is a doorway, and it's a his and her doorway. So the Aramamaru is her doorway, and the other one that appears to be eroded maybe is his. What do you think? We just got caught by the break. Everybody hang on. We'll be back right after this, folks. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are talking with my guest, Mark Felder, and with his co-expeditionist, Ray Stevenson. And let me just make sure both of you are still with me. Mark, are you still with me?
I am.
And Ray?
Yeah, check here.
Okay. Ray, we're going to have to release the line and allow some other folks to call, but I want to ask you real quick. We got a flash message here from the United Kingdom, and he wants to know, this is from John, wants to know if, in fact, there's any other information, any further information on this time portal in Arizona. Were either of you on that expedition?
We both were.
Okay. Has there been any further information about that?
Not to my knowledge yet. We're due to go back here after the first of the year to investigate that further.
Okay. And he wants to know if you can activate the new doorway. Can it be activated during the day? And I think, Mark, you said you tried and nothing much happened.
That's right. I tried. I had no results on that at all.
What about you, Ray? Did you try?
No. I stood there. I think Mark took a couple of pictures during the day just before it got dark. One more thing that Mark didn't offer up was that we did see UFOs in the area.
Oh, okay. Tell us about it.
Oh, yeah. There were two of them. I see them all the time around here because of what happened to me early on in life. I don't have time to go into it now. But
No, just tell us about the ones down at the doorway.
Yeah, they were pretty bright, and I spotted them right off. The sky is just absolutely beautiful in the southern hemisphere, and so I spotted that right off and kind of tapped Mark. I don't think he's ever seen one before, and so that was the first time. And then that was a big one. It kind of panned out towards the doorway and then arced out and away. And then the other one was a few miles away, and it was making erratic turns in the sky. It's really obvious, so, you know, like you focus in on something with a telescope. It was very crystal clear. So he got a real good bang out of that. So I was happy for him. He got to see what they really look like down there.
All right. Ray, thanks for calling in, man. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
I'm glad I got a chance to talk with you.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Ray.
All right, yeah, well, we'll get into the UFO information here in just a minute. The telephone number, folks, is 623-444-5889, or toll-free 888-223-4599. Or if you're outside the USA and Canada, you can send me a flash message. Just go to my website, scroll down, and where you see the link that says flash message, just click the link. All right, if you have a question or a comment about these doorways, call those numbers and we'll let you talk with Mark. Mark, these two UFOs, it sounds like the first one he mentioned was kind of close to you.
Well, they were, of course, up in the sky, but I had never seen UFOs before.
Mm-hmm.
Always wanted to. Well, the one we saw, basically what I was looking at were lights in the sky. There were no details of the shapes or, you know, anything other than that. So,
Yeah,
it was close enough where we could see it quite easily. It was a nice bright light in the sky, but that's about all the details I could give you on it.
Was it close enough that if there was, if it was an airplane or a jet, you would have been able to hear the engine?
Yes, definitely.
And was there any engine noise?
None whatsoever. There was no noise associated with it at all.
All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Ryan in Washington.
Yeah, Ryan.
Yeah, boy, you guys ever wondered, maybe it was hungry. Maybe it was it smelt you guys out, and it was coming out to see who you guys were.
Well, I couldn't tell you if it was or not, but that's an interesting thought.
All right, Ryan, you have another question or comment?
Well, maybe it's sitting there right now talking about these strange people that he saw, you know, he's probably wondering who you guys were just as much as you're wondering who he was.
He's on a Nibiru radio station giving an interview right now.
That could be. You know, I did run into this thing one more time, and it was at the new doorway.
Oh, well, you see, you need to tell us about that.
Well, I was standing in front of that new doorway with another person who had accompanied us to the doorway.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't when Ray was there. This was afterwards, several days later. We were about 25 feet in front of this doorway. I was showing the doorway to this other guy, the details. We were about 5 feet apart facing the doorway when I received three or four very powerful pushes on both my shoulders at the same time, pushing me backwards. Each push was harder than the first, so it was as if somebody had walked up to me, put their hands on my shoulders, and just started shoving pretty hard backwards, and I just about landed on my butt. Took me completely by surprise because I didn't expect anything like that. Couldn't see a thing, didn't hear anything other than that, and it was definitely a very powerful pushing.
Now, how close...
It occurred within about 2 seconds, the whole thing.
How close were you to this other doorway?
I was about 25 feet away from it, standing directly in front of that hollowed-out dish.
Now, you were talking with another person and telling him about this... talking with him about the appearance looking like a doorway. When this happened to you, did this other person notice that you were being pushed back?
Yeah, because he was looking at me while we were talking, and I let out a holler. Well, I went, whoa, because all of a sudden I'm being pushed backwards, and he saw the whole thing happen.
Mm-hmm. What did he have to say about it?
Well, he said that was weird. He saw me going backwards. All of a sudden, when I shouldn't have been.
Uh-huh. This guy, he was not part of your traveling party, right?
Well, he was the guide that came. There was two men that came from the U.S. to go to this doorway. I stayed there to meet with them and go to the doorway with them, offer my experience from before to help them, you know, So this was their guide who was also showing them around the area. He
mm-hmm.
had been with us last year at the doorway, so he's familiar with the site. So he was, I guess, part of the party, yes.
Okay. Had he ever seen anything like that happen before?
No, he told me that was just really weird.
All right, now the theory is that this doorway is somehow a dimensional portal, or maybe a time and space portal of some kind that can be used to travel great distances across the universe. And you've heard Jerry talk about it. He's been here on the show, Jerry Wills, talking about his trip through the doorway. You've had your experience of going through this doorway. You've heard Ray talk about his, and you were there when he had his experience of going through the doorway. What's your best guess on this? Is this a dimensional doorway, or is it a doorway that can take you through space and time? In other words, time travel.
I think it probably does have time travel connected with it. It definitely can take you to other dimensions. There was one other person you haven't mentioned who was with us last year who also went through the doorway and had a really incredible experience flying over the landscape. So, this thing can take you to other dimensions. I think you travel through time. The amount of time that we felt we were experiencing when we went through the doorway was much longer than the amount of time that passed for the people watching. So I think it also has a time element to it.
When you went through this doorway and you were peering down into a cave where you could see all these Aztec warriors, first question about that. How long did it feel like to you?
I thought I was there a good 10 minutes or more.
And how much time had passed on the clock?
For the people watching, they said that they could hear me making the tones and movement, but then everything went completely silent for about half a minute where they couldn't detect me being there.
Okay, so they experienced a half a minute. You experienced what felt like about 10 minutes.
Correct.
As you're looking down on these Aztec warriors, did you have the sense that this was a very ancient site, or was it a contemporary site that just happened to have Aztec warriors in it?
It felt very ancient to me. The warriors were all very brown in color, as if they had a brown dust over them. They could have been statues with a brown dust, or they could have been, I don't know. They sure looked real, like real people.
Mm-hmm.
But with the brown dust over it, the site had a very old feel to it.
Was there any movement of the warriors or of anything else in that cave? Did anything move?
No, everything was just absolutely locked, solid. No movement at all. As far as I could tell, I was the only thing moving around in there.
When you began to come out of the cave, I may be getting this crossed up. There was something about a crystal. Did you see a crystal?
That was another, that same night, that was the last thing I saw. I had gone up to the doorway a separate time, and I saw a crystal, yes.
All right, tell us about this crystal.
No, the crystal was something where I was in the doorway chanting those tones. My face sunk right into the rock, about up to my ears. And I could see a tunnel right in front of me that was about 6 inches in diameter going right through rock. It was rather jagged edges, and about 5 feet in, there was a black space, and a little further back was this very large crystal. It appeared to be about 18 inches high, about a foot across, large facets on it. It was crystal clear. It was rotating. Couldn't tell if it was clockwise or counterclockwise, but it was rotating slowly, and inside was a very brilliant light that was bouncing around frantically. And by frantically, I don't mean it was appearing frantic. It was just moving very, very rapidly, bouncing around inside. And it illuminated this crystal from the inside. The outside of the crystal was, everything was just incredibly black, but there was this blue plasma.
All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back right after this, folks. Don't go away. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Mark Felder about these amazing sites down in Peru. One of them pretty well established as some kind of interdimensional, maybe time and space portal. More than one person has been on this show talking to us about having gone through that portal, through that doorway. And very, very interesting stuff. This crystal that you were talking about, you said it was giving off kind of a blue plasma look?
Yeah, the outside of it had the blue plasma radiating out of it.
Mm-hmm. And it was illuminating, what, a cave?
Well, there was no illumination around it. It was just pitch black around it. But I was looking through what appeared to be stone, well, approximately 5 feet of stone, and then a black void. And this thing was centered right in my line of sight back there.
Now, Ray, who was on the telephone with us earlier, also saw this crystal, didn't he?
Yes, he did. we compared notes that night afterwards, and our two versions were identical.
All right, now just to clear the air for everyone, had either of you guys imbibed any alcohol or in any other substances that could either make you intoxicated or cause you to hallucinate?
No, absolutely nothing was used. No alcohol, no mind-altering substances whatsoever. Coffee was pretty much the strongest drink that I think anybody had there.
All right, so also so that we can sort of clear away in anybody's mind, let's clarify for folks a little bit of what you do when you're not on expedition. What do you do for a living?
I'm a contractor. I do residential construction.
Okay. So you're very much feet on the ground. You very much deal with measurements and materials and construction. And so there's nothing in your background, and there's no mind-altering substances that were used that could account for what happened to you at this doorway. Do you think that what you saw was an illusion, or do you think that you actually really passed through this doorway?
I think I actually passed through the doorway for several reasons. I could physically feel myself passing through the stone, all the way through me, which was something that's impossible to describe. And I could feel movement at the time that this occurred. When I was in that cave, or the cavern, I could feel myself in the cavern. I could feel my clothes. I was actually checking myself to see if I was physically there, touching myself, my legs, my, you know, and looking around, and all my indications that I could gather was I was physically there. It wasn't just something I was seeing. When I saw the crystal, I felt my face sink into the rock. I could feel my face and the rock being in the same place at the same time. That is really hard to have as an illusion, or I shouldn't say hard to have as an illusion, but I've never had anything like that happen before or since. So that too gave me the physical aspects of it, made me think it was actually happening.
All right, now, this time, none of that happened. You didn't go through the rock, you didn't go through the doorway. However, something apparently came out. Now, the something that came out, has you described it as being translucent. You could see through it, but you could see that there was, you could see the shape. It had a there was a disturbance in the vision, in your vision, so that you could see the shape of something, some kind of energy there. And Ray described that it was shaped, you know, it had arms and legs shaped kind of humanoid, but you could see through it. All right. I also said that I've been getting emails from people who are telling me they are seeing these things. They're describing pretty much the same thing that they're seeing. Those emails are coming to me from people in the United States. Their incidents with them are happening in the United States. This incident took place in Peru. Is it possible, and if it is, how likely, how probable, that there is a doorway like that in the United States?
I think there are doorways similar to this in the United States, different configuration, but basically the same type of operation. We've been checking into several doorways here in the United States, trying to locate it. One of them, it's a little different, the one in Arizona, but there's at least two more doorways that we're checking into right now that could probably do the same thing.
So, all right, let's take our last call of the evening. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio again. I was kind of interested because he's talking about feeling himself, to see that he was really there.
Mm-hmm.
I was just curious, did he touch the crystal? Did he touch anything in the cave or anything like that? And that's all I have. Thanks.
All right. When you were in that cave, did you reach out and touch anything around you?
Well, I touched the rock ledge I was kneeling on. I touched myself, my clothing. That was all I could touch. I was pressing my back up against the stone wall. I was in a niche on a shelf about 20 feet above the floor. But there was nothing else I could touch. I did not touch the crystal because I wasn't reaching in. My hands were still on the surface of the doorway in the keyhole. It was simply my face had sunk into the rock, and the crystal was something I simply saw. I was not able to touch it.
Well, Mark, every time you're on the show, you bring us amazing information. And I have to say, I think you're a pretty brave guy to go try these things. And but I'm not sure I would try them, but I'm glad that you bring us the information and the photographs and share with us. And through that, we sort of all get to kind of experience a little bit, at least imagine in our minds what it would be to experience what you have experienced. Do you plan to head back down to the area of these doorways at any point in the future? Are there any plans to do that?
I have no solid plans, but my intention is definitely to return there, hopefully within a year. And experiment some more with that doorway and the other one as well, and to do some more investigating on it.
Does the thought cross your mind, what if I wind up 20 billion light years across the universe?
Well, yeah. The thought has also crossed my mind when I was traveling to that cavern through the rock. What if I stop right here in the middle of the rock? Because the thought does cross my mind, but it's not enough to stop me.
Well, it's an amazing story indeed, and I want to thank you for coming on tonight and sharing this with us. Do you have a website?
I have no website, no, none at all.
Okay. So the only place people can see those photographs is to watch the replay of this show as the latest show. And, folks, if you want to see them, you need to join the members area, 23 cents a day, and then you can see. All right? Mark, just, if you will, stay online with me for a moment as I close the show. I want to talk with you for a moment after I close the show. And, again, thank you so much for being with us tonight. Well, folks, there are many, many, many strange, unexplainable things and places around this world. Here is where you find out about them. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.